We've reached the quarter century mark, episode 25 of From Someplace New.
Welcome to From Someplace New, the long-term travel podcast where Karen Bernhardt and John Sumple discuss their hows and whys, lows and highs, and lessons learned while living abroad.
Welcome to episode 25. I'm John Sumple.
I'm Karen Bernhardt. Hey, everyone.
And this is From Someplace New, our long-term travel podcast. We are in a new location, Edinburgh, Scotland. Gave a little bit of an update last week.
Yep.
Still
How long
in quarantation.
Have we been here, John?
Quarantation.
A what?
We
a
are still in quarantation.
A quarantine.
Quarantine.
A quarantine or intation.
Quarantination. Quarantine nation. I don't
corn
know.
Station.
Corn station. The corn market.
I don't know.
A little punchy.
Okay.
Recording this one late at night, so we are
probably
going to be giggly and stumbling and bumbling. Yeah. So this week we're going to do a kind of introduction, our first impressions of Edinburgh.
Right, because we've had some proper time out in Edinburgh since Thursday night, which was your birthday.
Yes.
That, as of what time was it? Quarantine was done?
If you did officially 14.
6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Is when we arrived.
Right.
So you count your days. And I think we're out the door at 6:01.
I believe we were.
Okay.
We hit it hard.
Yeah. And well, I mean, we were extra motivated because it was your birthday.
Right.
So maybe we should talk a little bit about, well, we'll roll that into
everything else. There's so much to talk about in first impressions.
You always
how much we packed into.
So much, and we could do 17 podcasts on this. It could be a series that goes on
until
the end of time.
3 days, 3.5 days since we were unbridled.
Right. So we kicked
first,
off
first things
night,
first.
And now we've had a full weekend, so we've had some time under our belt. And we feel like we can share some initial observations after a few days.
So first things first, what's the best thing that happened to you last week?
I would say celebrating your birthday out of quarantine.
Yeah, getting outside. Yeah. I went out three times to grocery shop and three times down the bottom of the stairs to get food at the restaurant directly below us. That was it.
Thank you, Maki Ramen.
Yeah,
delicious.
Very good. Big thumbs up. But yeah, we're out. We're out. It's good.
We are officially out and about, and we maxed our time this weekend. We're doing this on Sunday night after a very full 2 days. How many steps would you say we put in combined?
We've probably close to 40,000 steps in the 3 days
and
we've been out.
And typically in a day, we do about 50.
15, 20.
Right. So
no, I looked at it when we were in Bartolocha. I think that, you know, one day it was like 400 steps.
Yeah. Up and down.
Yeah. So this
know, the
is
loft,
Thursday night. We didn't go out on Friday, but Thursday night, Saturday and Sunday, we did about close to 40,000 steps.
And I know we'd have done that because I have 3 blisters.
Right.
Even though I have great shoes and I don't know what's going on, but
your delicate
I have 3 blisters.
Feet were like baby feet.
Apparently,
they haven't
they
been
just,
walking.
Yeah, tender, just unweathered feet.
Your feet
fresh
were like, what are you
feet.
Doing?
Yeah, so shape up feet because we have a lot to do.
Yeah, there's a lot of walking to be done.
Yeah. So what about you? What was the best thing?
The same thing. Yeah, getting out.
Having
a
birthday.
Absolutely. Getting out has been huge.
Yeah.
So yeah, the best thing will probably be similar for us because there's a lot of new things. But I'm sure there'll be some variations over time.
Maybe.
But we'll see.
Yeah. We'll see how that goes.
So we used to do this Bartolocha update, but since we're not in Bartolocha anymore, we'll just kind of give an update about how things are here in Scotland, specifically in Edinburgh, which I think our biggest surprise was that when we went outside, there's tons of people. One, they don't wear masks when they're out and about. Two, they do wear masks when they're indoors, and everybody does it. So everybody is carrying a mask, and everybody
adheres
to it.
Very serious indoors. That is where the rubber hits the road.
Yeah.
There's no variation with that.
Right. And the biggest thing really is the constant reminders of being smart, do what's right for you and for the people around you. There's messages all over the city about
tons
that. There's
signage.
Campaigns on TV.
Which I don't really know what can we compare it to. I guess there was minimal signage messaging, would you say, when we were in Argentina?
Well, there was no signs whatsoever anywhere in the city. But everybody adhered to everything because it was mandated.
Right.
So people were following the news.
Hearing
but
it
here
from
it's
somewhere.
Everywhere. And part of it, too, is because a lot of the people that we saw over the last 3 days are tourists.
Definitely.
Mostly, I would say, from within the UK.
Yeah, I'm assuming because of all the restrictions, they're probably, UK,
But still, a lot of people who were, just doing their thing. So messaging is that, let's all be safe out there and no conflicts, no issues, no people stomping their feet saying, I'm not going to put on a mask. Everybody did what they were supposed to do.
Right. If you want your food and you want your pint, you better put your mask on. So I guess maybe more motivated. I don't know.
And it's very different from in England. England's cases are much, much higher. And the primary reason
was...
Which
we're keeping an eye on that.
Yes, we are.
Because that could creep up into where we are in Edinburgh. Is southern Scotland, not that far from the border of England. England, so we're keeping an eye on what's going on with England.
Well, it's more regionalized, but London was just like in any major city. Like when we were in Argentina, Buenos Aires was where a majority of the cases were.
Right.
The big cities are the ones that they're keeping an eye on, but Manchester had an outbreak a week and a half ago, and they started shutting things down there. Aberdeen here in Scotland had an increase in cases, and they basically went back on lockdown. And there was a bunch of football players from the Aberdeen team that went out and got shamed and apologized, and they were at a party that a whole bunch of infections were connected to that. And as a result of that, Aberdeen locked the doors again and basically shut down, which is super smart that they're, as soon as they're seeing an increase, they're locking things down.
Right. No, that's really smart. I would rather they be that responsible than not. So,
and the message
we'll just keep monitoring what's going on around us.
And the message from the first PM, I don't remember.
It's a first minister, not a prime minister, a first minister, yes.
So the message from the first minister in Scotland was that kids going back to school is more important than pubs being open. And that if we start to see increase of cases in Scotland, we will shut down pubs and restaurants first before we shut down schools. So, we'll give updates to, as things progress, and hopefully, things are open. They would be in phase three of their phase four phases of reopening everything. Not everything is open. I think movie theaters and some social gathering places have still remained closed.
Right.
I think the 19th of August is when museums and things like that open up again.
Yeah, so of course we're super excited for that because we'd love to take advantages of as many of those as possible.
Yeah, since the majority of them are free too.
Yeah, so open up. We'll be responsible. Yeah.
We'll do it.
We've been.
We did our 2-week quarantine.
We did. We took it.
Although I had a little bit of a scare. waking up on Friday, and one of the reasons why we didn't go out on Friday, I didn't feel too good. And as the day went on, I had a temperature and like a fever, and I just felt awful. And I think it was food poisoning from the night before.
It was your tavern food. It wasn't the fan.
We didn't go out for a big dinner. That was this weekend.
Yes. So we'll talk about that. But we made up for it, would say, today.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
No,
yesterday too. Yesterday's brunch was really great.
Yeah, it was
we
great.
Had some really
fantastic
great dining
food.
Experiences actually all weekend.
Yeah, the first night was a trip to a pub that I had been to.
Yeah, should, so talk about that. That's fun.
I had been to 37 years ago when I was on a May option trip when I was in college. We were here for a month in Edinburgh and took two classes, and one of our assignments was to go out to pubs. And one of the first ones
that
we
was
went
an
to,
assignment you were was, encouraged yeah, to do this
it was to immerse ourselves in the culture. We would learn more from that than
That's
we would
real.
In a classroom. Yeah, so we went to the Athletic Arms, better known as the Diggers Pub.
And why?
Because it's right next to two graveyards.
Get
and a
it.
Lot of grave diggers used to come
yes we've yes, learned
and
all about
have
that.
A pint or two or five. So yeah, we went there and it was, they had a limited menu, so it wasn't a big menu, and we
very limited. I think there were three things. You could get the mac and cheese pie, the meat pie, or nachos.
Or there was a fish pie too.
Oh, there was a fish pie.
Yeah.
I passed on that. Probably a good call.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or no, it was a mince pie.
Mince pie.
You're like, no mince pie. Okay. So that's enough of that. Let's get into the meat and potatoes.
Speaking of,
yeah,
mince pie, meat pie, meat and potatoes.
These are our initial observations from Edinburgh, no particular order, kind of random. We're just going to kind of throw stuff out that we have both witnessed during our first 2.5 days outside. So you kick it all off.
Dun, dun, dun. For me, big time, the architecture. Massive, stately buildings. Oh my goodness. The buildings, the churches, the just everything is oversized.
Yeah,
it just
grand.
Seems so grand, so big. So much stone, the stacked stone, and you know, the architectural details and all of that have been amazing, everything I've seen so far. But the biggest aspect is how big.
Right. So you've got the old town, which was kind of founded over 1,000 years ago.
Right. So there's the history aspect too, which is next on my list, but the history.
But no, just as far as the architecture is concerned. So you have the old town, which is kind of random haphazardness throughout there. And then you have the new town, which was developed in the late 1700s and then built out through
new
the
town,
1800s.
1700s.
Yeah. And the new town, so you have old town has a lot of Gothic structures in it.
A lot of Gothic, aged, weathered Gothic architecture.
Yeah. And
so
then
cool.
The new town has more Edwardian,
Georgian,
and Victorian styles.
Cleaner lines and that type of thing.
And that was all laid out in like perfection, razor line grids and a lot of greenery, and we'll get to that in a little bit too. But yeah, it was, the architecture was pretty spectacular.
Wow. It just, and one of the things we did, which we've talked about in previous podcasts, is we did the hop on hop off buses. So we did a package where we were able to do, there are three different bus lines. So we ended up doing the one yesterday and then two today, which was great. We always recommend that because it gives you such an excellent orientation of the area, the highlights, and then you feel like you're a little bit more comfortable with it and you know what you want to return to. So I would say because of those bus trips, we saw pretty much the key samplings of everything great about Edinburgh.
And one of the reasons why we do that, though, it's a little bit different, I think, than somebody who would be coming here on vacation. Because if you're on vacation, you want to maximize. You're going to pick out the three or four things that you want to spend a couple hours at. We don't do that. We just hop on the bus to give us the lay of the land because we know we're going to be here for several weeks usually when we arrive somewhere. That just gives us the big picture overview of what our potential go back to places are going to be.
Yeah.
It's an official term, the go back to places.
It works out great. I love it for the orientation. I already know like a handful of places that are higher on the list that I want to go back.
Karen says, the three bus hop on hop offs was a total commitment of 3 hours over the course of 2 days. So 1 hour one day and then the 2 hours today for those. And we just did the loops and didn't hop off at any point.
No hopping off, just staying on. Stay on.
Just getting the lay of the land.
Don't hop off. And also, can we just interject and say how gorgeous the weather was all weekend? We
spectacular.
Got fantastic weather.
Yeah.
Mid-60s, clear, sunny, a little bit of clouds today, but not much. So pleasant.
And it's like, funny,
ridiculously
too,
pleasant.
Because the locals think that when the weather is like mid-60s and sunny, that it is like...
You think it was tropical.
Oh, yeah. They're wearing shorts and tank tops and sandals and... You know, pared down to the basics.
Yeah, full summer wear. But it does remind me of Seattle, though, similar when the temps would get that way in the summer, where you have most people that are dressing just that summer wear, shorts and short sleeves. But yeah, you still have people wearing coats.
Mm-hmm. Saw people wearing scarves too.
Yeah, some knit hats. So it's kind of an interesting thing, perspective, as far as, you know, are the mid-60s still...
Yeah, you'll
chilly,
see somebody wearing a sundress and sandals standing next to somebody wearing, you know, jeans, boots, a puffer coat, and a scarf.
Yeah, seriously. It reminded me so much of Seattle that way with how people react to the weather. But I wanted to jump back to, so the stately buildings, the massiveness, everything just being so bulldog. I use the term bulldog, like these big bulldog buildings. But yeah, then you have the charm. Mm-hmm. So the charming storefronts, the restaurant entrances, all of those the stacked, what do you, like row house apartments,
well, the
and
other
buildings,
thing too,
right? Along- with the adorable front door with the container gardens, and then you have your window planter boxes over, you
that's
know.
That's all
things.
Newtown, though.
Yeah.
That yes. precision.
It's so
the
precise, linear, yeah. precise. But just all those charming elements. And I'm always, you know, curious about retail, and I like window shopping and looking at those things, and just, oh my goodness, the charm with these storefronts.
Just a real quick, too, one of the most amazing things about Edinburgh is the castle. There's a castle up on an old volcanic plug that basically towers over the entire city.
Mm-hmm. And it's very prominent. I mean, you can't miss it.
Yeah, and another famous part about the city is the Royal Mile, which takes you from the castle all the way down to Holyrood Park, which is where the British monarchy, when they're in Scotland, they in Edinburgh, they stay at Holyrood Palace, which has been here for a very long time. The original chapel, I think, was built in the 1200s, I believe.
Was it 1200s? Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. Okay. Long time ago.
Yeah.
Let's go with that.
Okay. Yeah. A long time ago. Yeah.
But yeah, that's a big presence in the city. So you do have this very like straight razor edge line that divides Old Town from New Town, and that's Princes Street. So Karen's been getting her bearings too.
Yeah. I feel like I have a decent orientation. It's never going to be like you have. Have we talked about this on this podcast, how I have no sense of direction?
No.
It's terrible.
I haven't spent too much time.
I can't even follow, even pulling up. Of course, you can use GPS now and use, you know, Google Maps and everything else.
You.
Oh, my. It is so bad. It is so bad. And I know you've tried so hard over the years to help me with that everywhere we go. So that, I think I did mention this, that's not awesome as a long-term traveler, being so challenged that way geographically. But yeah, when you have landmarks and different things, of course, that makes it easier. So I would say the castle, you can always kind of find your way based on the castle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, if you're on the straight line streets, that you're in Newtown. If you're on some of the curvy, windy streets, that you're in Old Town.
If you feel like you're in a Harry Potter movie, you're where?
Old Town.
Right, because J.K. Rowling lived in that area and based a lot of elements of Harry Potter.
Did a lot of research.
With her, with her surroundings.
Yeah.
And you can sense that for sure when you're there.
Well, one of the things that I thought was really cool about the Old Town area is that the city of Edinburgh used to be a walled city for protection. They were afraid of invasions and invaders. So there was an area within, when you're there now, it just seems like it's very close. And there was a high wall. I think they said it was over 20 feet high wall. And you could leave the area, but you had to pay a tax to get back in. So at the very end of that wall was a pub called The World's End, which is very famous, and many people have heard of it before. And unfortunately, it's closed right now, so we didn't get a chance to go into The World's End.
It's a bummer.
But the story is that the reason why it was called The World's End is because very few people could afford to leave the walls of the city because they couldn't pay the tax to get back in. So as far as they were concerned, the very furthest they could go was to the World's End. That was the end of the line. That was all they would ever go.
Truly for them was the World's End.
It was the World's End for them.
Yeah. Interesting.
A different time.
Thank you, sir.
So let's move on. We got tons of other first impressions. You know, the sense of history is pretty amazing. You see it everywhere. You can't help but feel a sense of history. It is
pretty
fascinating. Let's talk a little bit about the food.
Oh, of course, food. Everyone's favorite subject.
And I wanted to, when I was here 37 years ago, food was not something I think Edinburgh was known for. So it was not something that I was aware of. at all. That, you know, it's like, oh, we have to have this amazing food. Curry was a thing. I remember going out and getting curry.
Sure, the Indian food, yeah.
Lots so of that was still. A big thing then. But now this is a foodie city.
Nice. Yeah, I know. I'm excited.
Unbelievable.
We've already done really well. We've gotten some recommendations from the Airbnb owner and some things that we've researched and things that just caught, you know, are catching our eye as we walk around. So I know we're going to continue to have great food experiences here. I'm very confident of that.
You know, there's the Scottish, traditional Scottish foods, which are the pies and the like steak pie and fish pie and different puddings and haggis.
Puddings, which are just English puddings, are just desserts. Different. They're not pudding the way we think of like Jello pudding, right?
There's also
they're,
the black pudding, it can which be is starchy. Kind of like a loaf. The black pudding is like a loaf that you get for breakfast.
Yeah, which you had the other day. You had the combo breakfast with every meat
under
ever,
the sun.
Ever, yeah.
I had bacon, sausage, haggis in the bread or the black pudding.
Yeah, it was a platter of different items. I'm pescatarian. So I'm super excited because there's awesome seafood because we are surrounded by water. I don't know if you realize that in the British Isles. So I'm super excited about that. There's going to be so much more seafood to have.
And another huge shift for us too is there the closest grocery store to us is a convenience market. And it has so many like natural, healthy food options for such a small space. Tons of variety.
Yeah, I've been really impressed with I finally was able to see the grocery store that you had already gone to a few times while we were in quarantine. And you kept bringing back items that I was really happy with. Even like the prepackaged, like stir fry vegetables, you know, that are ready to go. Just really nice stuff. So that's been great because things were not always that way with our options in lockdown in Bottolocce.
So you're a big fish and chips person. You've had the real deal here.
Yeah. So I had a proper fish and chips yesterday at that restaurant. And what did you get? Hamburger?
I had a hamburger. Which wasn't so good.
Yeah, you should have stuck limited with fish menu. And chips. Yeah, it was a limited. Yeah, it was a limited menu. But today's, you know, took the cake.
It spectacular.
Took the cake. Took the pudding. It was so good.
But the place we went today for dinner, spectacular. It was the Scran and Scally, which is a local food joint. I would say joint. It's not a joint, but
yeah,
it was
that makes it sound.
Well, that we were told it was a local food joint, and it really is kind of. Not a high-end restaurant, but it was expensive, a little bit on the pricey side, but it was traditional food, all traditional Scottish food.
Everything so fresh, so plated beautifully. I had some really nice wine with the meal. We had dessert and coffee. I mean, just everything was just seasonal, fresh, beautiful. So good. So good.
So the food, big thumbs up from Karen.
Yeah, big thumbs up. Like I said, I'm very excited, and I know we're going to continue to have pleasant food experiences. So, yeah, first impressions, awesome.
So yesterday when we were down at Leith, which is the port at the northern part of Edinburgh.
Yeah, and had you been there when you were here
I have not,
before?
No.
Oh, you hadn't?
No,
okay.
Had not.
Okay.
So on our way back, we walked up the Leith Walk, which is the main road that connects Leith to Edinburgh. And we just happened to be staying right on Leith Road. It was so interesting because we were walking back, it was around 6-ish?
It was fairly early.
Yeah, it was around 6 o'clock.
It was late afternoon, moving toward evening, or early evening, but...
So on our walk back, every corner of every block has a pub on it. And most of them had outdoor seating. And we saw a lot of people enjoying an adult beverage or five.
I enjoy a drink and a cocktail with the best of them, so zero judgment there. But it was really interesting because people were already kind of stumbly-bumbly and people walking along, you know, groups where they're getting loud and the, you know, hoop-hooping. And
not young kids either.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, they're really enjoying their drinks. Again, it was the weekend and beautiful weather, so maybe that was amplified a little bit. But I have a feeling that maybe the Scots like their drinks.
I would say that's true.
Yeah.
Ding.
Yeah. So again, zero judgment, but it's just that's this is
well,
the
was
podcast.
It, the long, it was
it's
like
an
a mile,
just,
mile and a half walk back, and
things
we
were
passed
rowdy here and
a
there.
Lot of people, yeah, who were enjoying themselves.
Yeah, it's a rah-rah atmosphere.
And
out
the
there.
Thing about it too is that this was at like six, so yeah. They had already had their.
Well, that's what I kept saying too. I was like, okay, everybody, like, pace yourselves.
Yeah.
You've just gotten started. It's Saturday. It's Saturday afternoon, not even Saturday night. So I don't even know. Are some of these people just, they've gone home and they're napping now? You know, they didn't even make it out for the night?
Or
I don't
maybe
know.
Not. Or maybe they're just getting started.
Right. Or they're just really seasoned and, you know, they know exactly what they're doing. But, you know, interesting observation.
Another thing that we've noticed, too, is fashion.
Right.
The way people are dressed. We talked a little bit about it.
You've noticed it, John? Would you say you even care?
I remember when I was here last time, there was that element of a very eclectic, very traditional, non-traditional. There was a little bit of a punk vibe when I was here last time, too. So that was in the early 80s. So there was still a remnant of the punk vibe.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
We did see a lady with a mohawk the other night.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we've seen. That's exactly how I would put it. Eclectic. There's really no signature look. Like I felt like there was in some of our travels in South America. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if anybody cares. I've just noticed, and again, it's summer, it's nice weather, but I saw a lot of dresses, like long dresses, like long, you know, flowy skirted dresses with sneakers or trainers, as they call them here. So that was a big look.
A lot of mixing and matching, a lot of plaid pants with striped shirts
white,
and polka dots.
Unique and mixing and matching, yes. Mixed patterns, mixed colors. Definitely riots of color, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a super neutral palette or what have you. I don't know. I'm always tuning into that. It's just something I'm interested in, design, decor, fashion. So I'll be curious what else I see in the coming weeks.
It's definitely edgier, grittier than what we've seen over the last 2 years by far.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's more that, you know, that people are kind of like, well, that's a fashion trend. I don't really don't care. I'm going to wear what I want to wear.
Yeah.
You don't get the feeling that, oh, these are a bunch of trend followers at all.
No, you don't. Certainly not. It's kind of, this is what I'm comfortable in, or I have a playful vibe or an artistic vibe or whatever it is. And that's just what I'm going to wear. One thing I thought was a little bit of a vintage thrifting kind of, which I love. I love thrifting. So I think when we were walking around today, I mentioned that if some of those thrift stores are open, it'd be fun to pop in and kind of see what they have. But yeah.
But it's not like, you know, there's certain areas in the United States that have that, like, you know, fashion trend. If you go to that neighborhood, you're going to see them, you know, dressing
right, kind
a
of a signature
way.
Look, maybe, that you'd see in certain areas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not an alternative scene
no,
by
not
any means. It's just a very hip vibe.
Yeah.
And it's not hipster. So
yeah,
we've
not
seen
hipster.
Yeah, we lived in Seattle for 10 years. We saw the hipster vibe there. We saw the lumber sexuals and the whole flannel
right,
shirt and beard,
you know,
thing.
The knit hat and the flannels. And yeah, it's not nothing like that.
And there seems to be a lot of followers of trends like that. There didn't seem to be a specific trend. It just was eclectic fashion is completely acceptable and fine, and people wear what they want to wear.
Yeah, so stay tuned. If anyone's interested in that, I'll be happy to provide some
the
updates
daily,
because
the daily report.
Yes, because like I said, it's something that interests me. So we'll see how that unfolds. But what else, John? What are some other observations?
Another thing too, dogs. Dogs are in pubs, dogs
yes.
are in restaurants, dogs are in stores.
Very dog friendly. Yes. Yeah. City out and about, but like you said, inside, you know, restaurants and places, which I have no problem with whatsoever. I think it's lovely. So, yeah, seeing a lot of pooches.
And one thing we've noticed, too, even though we are in a city, we've heard dogs barking once or twice, but it's probably just people taking their dogs for a walk. After 2 years of hearing barking dogs pretty much nonstop.
Well, yeah, we stayed in areas where the stray dog population was insane. Mm-hmm. So many strays.
Like 8,000 strays in Cusco, I think it was, something like that.
It's crazy. But the dog friendly aspect is great. Obviously, people value their pets.
We've traded in the barking dogs for sirens. Sirens are very loud.
Yeah, they're sirens. They are. Why is the volume?
I don't know. It's piercing.
Why is the volume so high?
You know, when the ambulances go by, people will cover their ears. They're
yeah,
so loud.
It's, yeah. Yeah,
pretty loud.
Yeah.
First impressions, folks.
Just first impressions. And I'm very aware when we do something like this, I don't want to sound like we're being nitpicky or we're complaining.
Well, no,
because as travelers, we're visiting. This is not our home country. Right. This is not where we were raised. So very respectful of anything that might be different from what we're used to. In fact, that's what I embrace. That's what I'm hoping to get from any travel experience, anywhere we stay or visit. So observations, like I said earlier, it's not good or bad. It's not. There's no judgment with that. It's just things that we're observing. It's interesting, right?
Well, and after, you know, we could have said the same things about after living in the U.S. all our lives, spending 2 years in South America and Central America countries and making comments about what we observed there. Now, all of a sudden, after 2 years in Latin countries, we're now back in a English-speaking country with much more, you know, Western type of influences as far as fashion and things of that nature. So it's very, very different.
Yeah, the context is very different.
Yeah, so that's what happens when you go from one hemisphere to the other.
That's what happens. That's how that works, apparently. Yeah.
There's differences.
Yeah,
there are. And we embrace them. It's fun. Our observations are not like, ugh. It's more like we've been enjoying this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. So we already talked about the specifics with
COVID. We talked a little bit, you know, in the beginning about the COVID thing. But one of the things that we've seen is how seriously they do take it here with the signages we talked about. But we've noticed different things depending on where you go, how much they enforce it. So any retail environment, you are not allowed in without a mask.
Absolutely.
Some of them
not.
Supply masks if you don't have one. Mm-hmm. There's lines. You have to keep the distancing. We went into one store today where they told you if you were on an escalator that you needed to be 8 steps behind the person in front of you. So you had to count your steps.
Hey,
in the
escalator. I thought this was interesting. One of the retail stores we went into, they had, so most of them do have the sanitizer, the pumps of sanitizer. The one that was, it was set up like a little station and they had a foot pedal.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're not even touching the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
You're using the foot pedal.
Right.
Yeah, and of course the sensor ones too, like near bathrooms and that, where it's the motion sensor. But
the biggest thing that we have yet to experience until we got here is they ask you to submit your name, email, and phone number.
Mm-hmm. So experience
so contact tracing.
Yep, the first time when we went out Thursday night to Diggers for your birthday kickoff, that was the first time when we had to do a clipboard there and sign in.
But we've had to do it with every restaurant that we've gone to. They take your name, your phone number. At the minimum, some took. But when we went to the restaurant yesterday in Leith, everything was online.
Right.
So they had QR codes for you to sign in.
Very modern.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you signed in first with the QR code. Second QR code was the menu.
Yeah.
So you could see the whole menu online. So it was
touchless.
Passing
out physical menus, which is smart. That's one more way of minimizing contact.
And I would say almost every retail space in every restaurant that we've been to does not accept cash.
Yes. They have a lot of times signage letting you know that ahead of time that they would prefer no cash. Oh, how about the grocery store and that? Do they encourage credit card?
Yeah, no cash.
Okay. Or debit.
Yeah, almost every retail place that we've been to says either outside or at the registers, no cash accepted.
Which that's very different because we in Central America and South America, so many cash is king.
Right.
So many places,
yeah,
again,
pre-COVID,
but it might be changing a little bit because, you know, it's safer COVID during this COVID pandemic not to, but cash, I mean, always, always preferred. So we have to kind of reorient ourselves, John. We don't need to be thinking cash like that.
One other thing we saw particularly across the street, right out the window that I'm looking at right now.
Mm-hmm.
Major construction of a mall. It's like an entire block.
And we learned
that it's been in development for 10 years. Now, I don't know if that means construction for 10 years.
Yeah, I'm curious what that means.
Planning maybe, tearing things down, doing infrastructure, but it is massive.
It's massive because everything is massive.
Yeah, everything is massive. So that is just like, there's like four huge cranes that you see pretty much. So we always know where We are.
Yeah. So if you're not seeing the castle, which I don't think that's physically possible, but if
the cranes, you can see.
If for some reason
much.
You don't see the castle, look for the cranes.
And last but not least, people outside.
Oh, everywhere. Out and about, loving the good weather.
And not just huge crowds in the tourist area, which is the Royal Mile. As cool as the Royal Mile is, I don't see us spending a lot of time there because it is so friggin' touristy.
Oh, yeah. No. That's not our jam. It's all the souvenir shops and the restaurants where the prices are three times as much because you're in that spot. And yeah. No.
It's cool. I mean, we've been through there a couple times on the tour buses. We went up there for an afternoon. We walked through the area.
You have to experience it. Yeah. It's a huge part of the history and what's going on here, but it's high tourist appeal. So we will be scooting ourselves out of that area and experiencing everything else.
I mean, like the walk that we did today, we're walkers. So we have no issue saying what's around that corner, where does this lead to? And it was both of us, our feet are sore after our 40,000 steps.
I think I shared. I have three blisters.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a little achy. My feet are quite sore, but yeah. It's worth it. I'm not complaining. It's all worth it. I will put some Band-Aids on those toes and we will keep on going. Keep on going. But yeah, the parks.
Yeah,
too.
So the greenery.
Can we talk about the parks?
Yeah, the greenery. The Princess Street, the parks that it used to be a lock and they filled them in and they've turned them into just gorgeous parks.
Oh, the gardens.
Absolutely, you know,
fountains.
Beautiful. But a lot of the new town had parks built into it. With the new town, they tried to mirror what was on along Princess Street on Queen Street. So you have a park that goes all along Princess Street, and you have a park that goes all along Queen Street, but that park is private for the people that live on Queen Street.
Right, so we can't visit that one.
Can't visit that, but so much greenery throughout the city. The tour guide today said that there's more green space in the city of Edinburgh than any other major city in Europe.
Yeah, that's what he said, than anywhere else in Europe.
Yeah.
I'm curious about that.
And
but it would certainly seem that, I don't have anything to compare it to, so I can't say, but
we'll see.
It certainly would seem like that is true because it's a ton of greenery.
Yeah.
Ton of foliage everywhere, which is awesome. And everybody is out enjoying it. Are we all social distancing as much as we should be?
I think
I'm
within
not
their
sure,
groups. They, I mean, like when we went to Holyrood Park and walked through Holyrood Park, there's a post on our Facebook page and Instagram page. Massive park, open space, greenery.
That was fantastic.
And there were people that were spread out all over the place.
Yeah, that's true. I'm thinking of that space. They really were spread out. So,
but you had we saw.
But
groups,
it's easy to do because it's huge.
Yeah, we saw groups from like 2-3 people to 8-10 people, but they would have their chairs. They would be maybe with some beers
picnic,
and glasses
lunches,
of wine and
frisbee, bubbles, pets. Everything's going on.
Everybody is out enjoying the weather.
Yeah,
we definitely
as were
that.
We.
Yeah, we definitely were. We really
enjoying
enjoy
our
it.
Newfound freedom and the opportunity to explore such a gorgeous, interesting part of the world. I couldn't be happier for, you know, what's next and what's available to us now. It's awesome.
And the only other observation, I'll make this our last one, is the time zone change.
Ooh.
It's a big one. My clients and your business is based 5 hours earlier. So there's a huge difference between, you know, when their day starts and when our day starts.
Yeah,
so
5 hours is significant enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at technically their day is running from our time 1 in the afternoon until 10 at night.
Right.
So we have kind of adjusted to that in the sense that, you know, the 2 weeks allowed us to do that. But it still throws, we used to be like, you know, every day we would be done working around 6-7 o'clock. So that we knew we would be exploring in the evenings.
Yeah,
we really can't do that.
Wrap it up and have an evening.
Yeah. So we may flip it around and look, you know, do some stuff first thing in the morning and be back at it by, you know, 11:30 so that we can.
Yeah, no, we've talked about that. So, and yeah, just getting ourselves, you know, up and, well, not that we're not already up, but you using that time to go out and get some walks and do some exploring. Yeah, just kind of take advantage of that morning chunk. and then work our full day.
Yeah, and late, you know, as we've said before, work is a big part of why we're able to do this. So we need to adjust to that.
Yeah,
we have to adjust to that. We can't expect them to adjust to us. So
never would expect that. So yeah, so we're making those adjustments, and I think we're doing just fine with it.
No complaints.
Yeah, it's totally worth it. Yeah. I wouldn't do it any other way. Where we're sitting right now and what's ahead of us, it's all very, very worth it.
Completely agree. So yeah, that kind of wraps up our initial observations.
Yeah.
It's been exciting,
really. A few full days in, this is what we are observing and taking note of.
Yeah, and it was like a newfound freedom. They can't take away our freedom. A little William Wallace Braveheart reference. Yeah, we are thrilled to be able to get out again. It's been awesome. It's only been two full days and an evening, but yeah, we're excited to be able to get out and about. And our fingers are crossed that it'll last.
I don't want any shoe to drop. We'll handle it like everyone is. We'll make whatever adjustments we need to, of course, but it would be nice to keep this forward momentum going the way it is.
But we always know in the back of our head that it's a possibility, so it's not like we're going to be super, super like sad and disappointed. Yeah. We just know this is what we're living with. We'll deal with it. So if you liked what you listened to, please subscribe and leave us a review, thumbs up, share it with your friends and family. We really enjoy sharing our travel journey and inspiring other people to do what we're doing, hopefully one day. And if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. And we will do whatever we can to help you get inspired and activate a location-independent lifestyle.
Nice.
Super excited.
Let's do it.
Okay, so yeah, let's just keep plugging away at our work and enjoying our free time and exploring and observing and sharing and, yeah.
All things Scotland. Let's do it.